Thanks,
thanks for listening.
Bye.
If you're on the Gulf Islands, camping, traveling, and surviving, spending your summertime squatting on the land. At the Hornby Island Free Store, they got all you need there and plenty more. Items you can afford, even when you are poor. One back there in the 1960s, Abby Hoffman and the Yippies. I guess the idea lived on with some BC hippies. Good for every sort of beach bum, a helpful way of recycling. You come back from the dump with more than what you came. Dump there back at my home, the village of Madoc, Ontario. You only gotta pay if you don't take in all your recyclables. They got a store in there full of the good garbage. Lots of stuff there for all your kids. I got 4 boxes of National Geographic. Not bad. Give me some green. Free store, every town should have a free store, where it's free to trade in or to take whatever it is that you need. They got clothes and combos and board games, price will jump to help your save. And if you eat more, be given back to the free store. Don't need to throw out so much trash. Our garbage is about as good as cash. I dream in green, I mean, I think of free. When you look at the waste the corporations create, products that they've made just to break, packaging they throw on top of it for profit's sake. Go dumpster diving. Find something good. Back to the free store.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Thanks for joining me. Today's show is sponsored by Deepak Chopra, who is speaking at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre June 4th. Deepak will help you find your purpose, open your heart, and learn how uncertainty is the source of all possibility. He'll be speaking about his latest work, Reinventing the Body, Resurrecting the Soul, and the Ultimate Happiness Prescription, the 7 Keys to Joy and Enlightenment. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster. I actually saw a video of Deepak on MSN yesterday. I was checking my email and there was just this random Deepak Chopra video in the corner, and he was talking about I wonder if that's the 7 Keys to Joy and Enlightenment. I don't know. There's a study done in this scientific organization that he's a member of, and there are these factors to wellness and total well-being. So it includes like community well-being, physical well-being, your career, your financial well-being, your spiritual well-being. There's a bunch of different factors that all kind of meld together to make total well-being. And apparently the study that these scientists did, there were only 7% of people that they interviewed could say that they felt well and happy and satisfied in all of those areas. So definitely a lot of work to be done. Maybe check out Deepak Chopra, and he'll probably be talking about that a little bit on June 4th at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. So today's guest is Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of Walking Through Illusion, and I'm going to bring her up on the air right now. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Marie. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Wonderful. So, Betsy, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came about writing this book?
Well, it happened when I started writing at a very bad time in my life, where I'd just been through two divorces, and nothing seemed to be going right in my life. And I moved to California, and I got involved in A Course in Miracles. I'm not sure if you're familiar with A Course in Miracles. And after 2 years doing the course, I decided that I would try to listen within to and an old talent that I had that showed itself when I was about 5 years old came back, and that's how the writing began. And as I began writing and asking questions of spirit, I was naturally curious about Jesus, and I just started asking questions because I wanted answers, and that's how it all began.
So do you, in this book, do you consider that you're channeling Jesus? I mean, how do you define the transformation of this information?
I don't really, I don't think it really matters what you call it. It's what you hear and what, you know, what it makes the reader feel like that matters, because it's really just words, and it's what you feel from what you're reading that has an impact. So you can really call it any name you want to. And my whole philosophy is that names, words coming out of your mouth are part of the illusion, and therefore they're not really even real. It's how you feel about what you're reading that is real. So the book is really not so much about Jesus as it is about the idea of walking through illusion, that we're all here walking through that which is temporary or matter to find what is real, that which we feel in our hearts.
So, Betsy, as I'm reading the book, there are stories. The book is broken up into like short portions, and then after each section, there are some questions and some statements that you might want to consider. There's a little space for notes. I just open up here. There's a worksheet. Chapter 14 is about acceptance, and you can answer these questions. What do you love about yourself and accept with ease? Is that acceptance similar to your acceptance of others? And a few other questions. And then the next page has some questions to ponder. Do I prove my worthiness by what I think and speak, or by what I do and give? So what is the purpose of the worksheet and the questions to ponder?
Well, the purpose of the worksheet is to bring the ideas from the chapter you have just read into the reader's life in a meaningful way. It's a way of forcing the reader, asking the reader to look at their own life in terms of what they have just read and how it might apply to how what they can do to make their own life happier. And the next page is really how I have shared in my own way how the message in that chapter impacted my life. And I tried to be as honest as I could about what had transpired in my life that had changed, and how the message had impacted it.
So each chapter is about some kind of biblical character. So do you suggest, I know that your book isn't coming from a place of religion or any specific dogma, but it seems like maybe you should have some kind of knowledge of the Bible before you read this book.
Well, I don't think, it's not a book. The book is not about Christianity. It's about people who lived long before Christianity began. So, I mean, these people had never heard of the word Christianity. So it's really for anyone who is interested in expanding their spirituality. It's just that it could be any name. It could be any person who was in the book, and the message would be the same. So I don't think that anyone needs to know anything about the Bible at all, because Walking Through Illusion doesn't attempt to agree or disagree with the Bible. It merely presents one way to look at this man's life and those around him, and the purpose is not to debate who is right or who is wrong about what happened then. The purpose isn't to encourage people to live what is right for them now.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm wondering what, let's talk about what the illusion is. What is the illusion?
Okay, well, the illusion refers to the idea that we come here in our bodies to experience matter, or that which is temporary, to recognize what is real, or that which is felt. So the illusion would be everything we see, we hear, taste, smell, or touch, and reality would be everything we feel about what we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Because the book poses that when we leave here, we don't take our beliefs with us. We take the love we found from having them.
Okay. Well, I'm just looking at the book, and so some of these things, you're answering questions like, why do we have handicaps?
Right.
So let's talk about that. Why do we have handicaps?
We have handicaps for the same reason we have everything else, to expand the love within us. And I believe that before we come here, we decide who we're going to be, we decide who we're going to birth through, we decide where we're going to live, we decide our talents, we decide our looks, our intelligence, and every choice is made because we feel our soul believes that we can expand our hearts by making that choice. So in this particular chapel, Aaron learns that handicapped people are only those who ignore their strengths, because the purpose of his handicap is to force him to find the blessing beyond the pain and to remember the beauty within. And, you know, I found throughout my life that when people have learned to use their handicap in a positive way, sometimes miraculous things happen. In fact, that's what happened to me in a way, that I was willing to acknowledge that I had this gift, that when I was young, this gift of being able to absorb other people's feelings and feel what other people were feeling seemed like an awful thing to me, because I could feel the negativity around me as well as the positivity, and it used to I just couldn't seem to get rid of it. But so I tried to ignore it. But as I went through this crisis in my life and decided to acknowledge the gift, lo and behold, because I was this way, I was able to feel spirit, you know, sort of channeling through me, and then it was turned into a positive thing for me. So I believe that there's always some good reason for that particular person, and we don't need to understand why that person has made that choice. It's enough that they have it, and if they have it, then it's a wise choice.
So in that chapter of handicaps, that's chapter 16, you ask Jesus, did you have a handicap? And he says, the obvious one was my temper, and the less obvious was my sensitivity. So it doesn't necessarily mean like you have a broken leg or you're in a wheelchair or something like that.
No, I mean, some handicaps are visible and some are not. Some are temporary, some are permanent, some are, you know, all there. It's just all so individual, like everybody is. It's an individual choice. I mean, I believe that's what I believe anyway. I don't believe there's any God in heaven handing out handicaps here and there. I believe it's the soul within us making a choice that we feel is wise for our evolution. Because I don't believe that we're just here one time. I believe that that energy cannot be created or destroyed, and therefore it is always evolving.
So let's talk about time. Chapter 23, you ask, why are we living in time? And what was the insight that you received?
Well, I suppose that I used Herod in that chapter because why are we living in time? Because it gives us a chance to grow. It gives us a chance to grow. I always call humanness a game, because I think of it I have this idea that I have a fantasy that I love to use, that I walk into a room and a bunch of my friends are in the room and they're all playing this game and having a wonderful time, and I don't know how to play the game yet. And so I want to play the game as well as they do, so I can have as good a time in it as they're having. So I think that time is our way of coming into this world of matter and conquering a game or learning how to play the game. And if you don't learn how to play the rules of the game, you can't really play the game. It's just like a game of chess. If you don't learn the rules, you can't really play the game effectively. So we come here to learn that this is all a world of action reaction, and that whatever we give to others, we receive, and emotionally. And so that's sort of what the whole book is about, the coming into illusion or the time, and using the opportunity of being here as a great blessing to us, for us to learn to expand our hearts and understand that we're here to love.
Wonderful. Well, it's time for a break. We are speaking with Betsy Otter Thompson. Her book is Walking Through Illusion. You can find her online at BetsyThompson.com. And you can also, after the show, I'll put a link up to her site on my website, spiritualshow.com. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Strength,
dignity,
respect,
beauty,
self-worth,
safety,
confidence,
choice,
hope.
The Beauty Night Society is a registered charity dedicated to helping marginalized women introduce trust, hope, and self-esteem into their lives.
This is the first day of
Through its popular makeover program, the Beauty Night Society has touched the lives of thousands and reintroduced a healthy touch to the lives of vulnerable women throughout British Columbia, creating real life makeovers.
Please visit www.beautynight.org for information on programs and on how to help.
Beauty Night,
because dignity is beautiful.
I think I was blind before I met you.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking today with Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of Walking Through Illusion, and you can find her at BetsyThompson.com. Hi, welcome back to the show, Betsy.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. So in the book, you're speaking directly with Jesus. I mean, what inspired you to want to speak specifically to Jesus?
I suppose because I had always been curious about him. I wondered how about the people around him, how they felt about him, how he felt about them, what they might have learned from each other. I'm not even quite sure that that's the answer, because I don't really know why. I just felt compelled to do it. And so I would probably explain that. Like, I feel like before we come here, I believe that the people we are going to find when we get here is like planned, because the people who love each other want to help each other in whatever game they're playing. And so I think probably it was decided beforehand, because there was always this compulsion. I had this compulsion to speak to him. I mean, I don't know why, except that it's maybe the same compulsion people feel to play the piano or to paint a painting or whatever. I don't think the gift is any different from any other creative expression. It's just the way that particular person needs to do it. And even with lots of, you know, there are many kinds of psychics in the world, and they all have their own particular way of sharing, and which is no different from everyone having a particular way of painting or of being a musician. And that's how I explain it. I'm not sure the answer what the answer is, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so do you consider yourself psychic, or is this just a creative form of expression for you?
I think it's a combination, because I don't think I could come up with the ideas in the book on my own, so I do believe that spirit is somehow... I open my heart to hear spirit. I really believe that anyone can hear spirit, but some people practice at it, and so they get better at it. Everyone is psychic because we all have a heart that can feel. So it's just that this is my particular bent.
So when you say that you opened your heart to be able to hear spirit, what specifically did you get into, like a trance state? Did you just sit down and decide, okay, I'm going to do this now? What was it that you did?
Well, I would love to tell you, so it's a little long. Do you mind if I tell the story of how it happened?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, when I was around 5 years old, my mother was always telling me how much I looked like her grandmother, and she had loved her grandmother very much. And so I thought, that's a real asset. I look like somebody my mother really loved. And so I went to bed the night when I was thinking about this, and I said, I'm going to talk to my great-grandmother. And I did, and I heard a response. And I did this for a couple of months, and I was really enjoying it. And so I said to my older sister, who was 7 at the time, I talked to our great-grandmother, and I'm having such a good time. Who do you speak to? And, she looked at me like I was crazy, and she teased me for weeks after that, unmercifully, about this, so I stopped doing it. And then when I was around 11, you're probably too young to remember this, but Ouija boards came out as a hot new board game, and everybody was getting them, and our family got them, and my sisters and I couldn't wait to sit down and play with this game, so we did, and this board was moving around, and they accused me of moving it, and I accused them of moving it, and we all swore none of us were moving it, and so we didn't know. We wondered who was moving it. But after a while, it was it was really a game that was hard for young children to play because it was very slow, and my sisters got bored with doing it. But I continued doing it, and then I began to worry because this was like something. I thought to myself, wait a minute, isn't this something I got teased for before, really got uncomfortable about before, so I stopped doing it too. And I never thought any more about it after that until I was out in California and my son had come to visit me and we were talking and I was telling him about this incident with the Ouija board and we were laughing and hysterically about what had happened. And then as a joke for my birthday, he got me a Ouija board. And so I called him and I thanked him for the Ouija board and I said, but you have to do this with 2 people, so you'll have to come over and do it with me. So he trudged over and he did it for me. It took us 4 hours sitting at this board to get like one sentence. And it was a beautiful sentence, but it was 4 hours. And my son said to me, Mom, I'm not going to sit here for 4 hours again. He said, if you want to do it on your own, do it on your own. So the next day I decided to do it on my own. And the first message I got was welcome home. And I was hooked after that. And so that's how I started. But then as I used the Ouija board, it was very cumbersome. So what I did was I just put an alphabet on a piece of legal pad and cut out a piece of paper with a hole in it. And then I started doing it that way. And when I first started, I would have to go from letter to letter to letter. And then I would go to a letter and I would hear a word. And then after a while, I would go to a letter and hear a sentence. And then I would go to a letter and hear a phrase. And so the whole system was compacting and becoming easier. But that's basically how it started. Now I don't use anything, but that's what got me started.
Okay, so let's talk about this piece of paper thing in a little bit more detail.
Okay.
So you took a piece of paper.
I took a piece of legal pad and I put the alphabet on it, like it's on the Ouija board, like in the arc of a semicircle, so it would be easy for me to use it. And then I just took a piece of white paper and I cut it like a donut with a circle with a hole in the middle, and I used that as the pointer that the Ouija board has, and it worked just fine that way, just as much as it worked on the Ouija board, and it was very easy to use.
So you put your finger through the hole?
No, you just put your finger on top of the donut part.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And it moves. So this is how I got started. Now I can just sort of put my one hand on my palm, and it moves, and I hear the phrase. And I'm not sure how this works. I'm not sure... I don't know. I mean, if you ask a painter how they get their vision, I don't think they would be able to answer you except to say that I feel it inside and then my creative talent takes over. And I don't know. I mean, I just don't really understand it completely myself, but all I know is that it happens.
Wow, interesting.
I'm really happy to share this, Marie, because, you know, people have had this, like, a fear of the Ouija board for years, like, because they say that horrible messages come through the Ouija board. Well, the Ouija board's a piece of cardboard, and it's really just as silly to say that it's got its powers to it as it is to say that a dish rag has powers. It's simply a tool, but it's like any other tool. You can use it in a positive way or you can use it in a negative way. You know, for instance, like the gift of oration was used one way by Hitler and another way by Churchill. So you have a gift, you have a talent, you have a way of expressing, but how you use it is up to you.
But with the Ouija board, I mean, some people say, like, they can use it, but if you're just, they'll be very specific in their intention of using it, and they might, you know, do some ceremonial type things to kind of only allow positive energy to come through. Because if you just sit down at the Ouija board and say, okay, whoever's out there, talk to me, I mean, couldn't it be some darker entity?
I think that you attract to yourself the person you are. I mean, I think that this is like basic physics of, I believe, and what you put out, you get back. Whatever emotional impact you put out into the universe, you get back. And you have to, you also, I mean, you could say to yourself, lots of people who talk don't channel beautiful ideas, but they're talking. They control how they talk. So you can control what you hear. If you don't hear something that you feel is loving, then you say, wait a minute, you stop, and you say, I want to make sure that love is speaking through me. You can do a prayer, you can do whatever. But it is no different than the person, everyone who's speaking is channeling while they speak. They either channel something pleasant or they channel something unpleasant. And you control how you use the vehicle of your voice, and this is no different. This is your voice expressed in a different way.
So with the Ouija board, it's such an interesting topic because I've only used it a couple of times, and you're supposed to use it with other people. But like it, with your experience with your family, everyone is accusing everyone else of moving it, and you never really know if they're moving it.
Right. Well, that was when I was a child. Right. When I was on five or so. Yeah. And then what I did with my son, we heard this gorgeous message. It was only a sentence, and then when I did it alone, I heard "Welcome Home," and I realized that it's set up as a game to be played by other people because that's how the game was set up by the people who created the game. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be done alone, which it can be done alone. So it's just a vehicle. I really want to get that across to people. It's simply a tool. You know, like the gift of filmmaking, it's used one way to create a movie like Gone with the Wind. It's used another way to create child pornography. And the person who has the tool in their hands decides how to use it.
Okay, that's interesting. I like what you're saying about how the tools, and you're comparing how one person is using it for something negative and one person is using it for something positive. So it sounds like what you're saying is that the tool itself is neutral.
Exactly. Exactly. The tool is neutral. And people can use any tool that they feel that will work for them because each person is so individual in this way that, and that's wonderful that it is. Otherwise, we'd all be doing the same thing. So it's wonderful that it is individual, but it is determined. It's like you decide how to live your life in the general sense, just as you decide how to use a tool. I mean, it's all about the will within us. We have the will to decide how we're going to do something and how we're going to live, how we're going to use a gift, all that.
Okay, well, it's time for another break. We are speaking with Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of Walking Through Illusion. You can find her online at BetsyThompson.com, as well as when I post the podcast of this, her website will be up on my site, spiritualshow.com. So we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment. If you'd like to get on the air and ask a question, you can call 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487. You can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com, and I will pass that question along. We'll be back in just a sec.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Ah, rude is. Ska music, you make me 1215 Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Are you tired of spending your hard-earned money on CDs? Compact discs, I mean. DVDs, even. Whatever. Anything that might be better with
radio-ness.
I'm sick of listening to music without any funny quips in between. No commercials, I mean, come on. What about
Jay?
Mark.
Jason.
The Bear. All those guys. Now you'll never have to miss out on crazy
Mark Farabee
and Jason
the Bear
Paulette
because
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver
has come up with their own label. That's right. You can listen to music and never have to listen to... You can listen to music and never have to miss out on the radio-ness.
Listen to Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m. on 101.9 CITR with your hosts, Mark Farabee
and Jason Paulette.
Do you want to have your music played? Have your horoscope read or just
give us some random advice?
Send us an email at fridaysunrise@vanmusic.ca or call us during the show at 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
Good morning. Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. There's a lot of stations airing this show, so thank you to them and thank you for listening. If you'd like more information about past shows, future shows, what's going on with me, the other shows that I host, visit my website spiritualshow.com, and you can also email me spiritualshow@gmail.com. So on April 30th to May 2nd here in Vancouver, the Wellness Show is coming to town. There's going to be lots of different stuff. Wellness Show, they have exhibitors and then they have speakers and things like that. So you can find out more information on thewellnessshow.com, but they are going to be at Canada Place on the weekend of April 30th to May 2nd, if you're interested in checking out the Wellness Show. And a while back, the other day, I was doing an interview with Dr. Leo, who is the editor of the Ringing Cedars series of books, and he's the co-translator as well. And he's coming to Vancouver, and I kept saying, next Friday, May 7th. Well, it's not next Friday, May 7th. It's May 7th, which was not this Friday or whatever. So I don't know what planet I was on that day, but I just wanted to clarify that he is actually coming on May 7th, 2010, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. He'll be at Canadian Memorial Church. That's at the corner of 15th and Burrard. And you can find them. I think they're on the corner of 16th and Burrard, but it's in that general area. So it's the Canadian Memorial Church. Again, that is the Ringing Cedars series of the Anastasia books. That was the woman who was living in the Siberian wilderness and coming up with all of these insights. So if you'd like to speak with the editor and hear what he has to say, go to the Canadian Memorial Church Friday, May 7th at 7 to 9:30 p.m. And I think it's $30 at the door or $25 if you pre-book it. So you can go to their website, ringingcedars.com, and click under events if you want more information. So again, we are speaking with Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of Walking Through Illusion. Welcome back to the show, Betsy.
Thank you, Marie.
Hi, I just had to get that out of the way because you know how some days you think it's Monday when really it's Tuesday or whatever? It's
like, yes, I know.
Did you ask Jesus why that happens?
Focus.
Yeah, that's one of the things is when you're not present and you're not being mindful, then you get confused, right?
Right, yes, if you're not in the moment.
Exactly. But sometimes even if you are in the moment, I mean, you don't always look at a calendar and know
True.
What day it is.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We're all human.
It happens to the best of us. So, yeah. All right. So let's talk more about your experience with walking through illusion. Before the break, we were talking about how you had started out with using the Ouija board. And well, before that, you had been speaking with your grandmother. So do you speak with her now?
No. I mean, not that I know of. I mean, I think that guides are always around us helping us, and I don't know that we necessarily know who we hear an idea from or how we are inspired. I don't know if you meditate. Do you meditate ever, Marie?
I do sometimes. I want to meditate more than I do.
Yeah. Well, I think that when we meditate, sometimes if we have a problem we're trying to solve, if we are meditating, we hear an answer, but we don't always know where that answer comes from. So who knows what guides we have around us, helping us and loving us, you know? Since we don't have a memory of past lives or knowing who we know besides who we know consciously in this lifetime, we don't know who might be helping us. But I wanted to add an idea to the concept of the using the Ouija board and how it's a tool for us. And for me, it's been about taking responsibility. You know, it's the idea of taking responsibility for the gift you have and the tool you're using. And taking responsibility has been a big idea in my life because my first half of my life was spent blaming everybody else for my problems. And it wasn't until I did the Course in Miracles, which for me was mostly about, okay, taking responsibility for where my life was and how I had gotten it here. Nobody else had gotten it to the point it was. And after I took responsibility, everything changed in my life. I mean, everything. I was like almost a bag lady in my life out in California, and really in a bad way, financially, emotionally, every way. And after I did the course for a little while, I started taking responsibility and saying, okay, I'm in charge here. Nobody's going to come rescue me like I was told would happen when I was a child. I have to take charge here. I have to take responsibility for my life and what's happening. Then everything, and everything, and taking responsibility for the decisions I had made that had gotten me there, and not blaming that it was on because other people behaved a certain way. That was what changed my life. So the books are all about taking responsibility, owning up to you being the person who's gotten you where you are, and then once you acknowledge that the power is within you, you realize you have the power to make it different.
So, Betsy, when you say that you were almost a bag lady, I'm sure we don't want to focus too much on the negative, but can you had gone through a divorce. Is that the time when this...
Yes, I had gone through my second divorce. I had gone to New York for 2 years before I went to California. Then I had this, like, a vision when I was in California walking down the street saying it's time to go, and I knew immediately where I was supposed to go, which was California, because I had always wanted to go to California. Even when I was a teenager, hoping I would go to college in California, none of that worked out. But I wasn't surprised that I was going to California. I just was surprised about why I was going to California or what California or what being there was all about. I, at the time in New York, was trying to be an actress and get into, I was doing commercial print and commercials, and I thought it was about being an actress. But when I got to California, all that fell away, and I got involved in a spiritual path. So, and Marianne Williamson was in California then, and she was doing the Course in Miracles, and so it was all about that. And so that is when my life began to turn around, when I followed my heart and went to California.
So was it New York where you were homeless?
I wasn't homeless, no, but when I came out to California, I was temping, and I wasn't making ends meet. And then I had something had gone wrong at the bank, and they closed my account, and I had to go in there and turn things around, it's like I didn't know if I was going to make the next rent. And so it seemed like everything was going wrong in my life, but sometimes when we think everything is going wrong, everything is going as right to get us to a certain place. And I did finally make the rent with getting help from my family, but it was a point in my life where I thought to myself, how could I have gone from from being, first of all, I had been married to a president of a bank. I had gone from being married to a president of a bank to being almost out on the street. I mean, it was like this contrast that was unbelievably vivid. And but it was all about, I guess I made the choice to get to the lowest point I could possibly get so that when anything that happened to me would be something that I would have to build for my own future. I mean, it taught me that I was able to take care of myself. It taught me that I didn't have to depend on other people to survive in this game, and it was a big lesson and a vivid lesson, and a really, looking back on it, an important one.
Definitely, I can imagine after being married to the president of a bank, even if you were really independent before that, I can see how it would be easy to fall into that pattern of just expecting that things are going to be there, and then you kind of get used to that lifestyle. And
exactly. Just expect it. When I was a kid, as girls, we were told to, that, you know, we would get married and the man would take care of us for the rest of our life. Well, that's not quite what happened to me. But, a lot of women in my generation, I think, have gone through this and faced the idea that all of a sudden in the middle of their age, mid-age, they have to learn to support themselves in some way. And I did. And in fact, it was kind of a miracle, because after I said to myself, you know, I had a good education, I graduated from college, and so I thought my life was supposed to be about something more than just temping as temping and that kind of, that's how I was supporting myself when I went to California. So I had this like guilt that I was not using what I had in my education and things. But when I finally decided that, okay, if I'm here in California and I can type, then if I'm going to be a secretary, I'm going to get the best darn secretarial job this city has to offer. And 3 weeks later, believe it or not, I had someone I had temped with recommended me for a job with a young company just starting out, and it was Castle Rock Entertainment. And I had a job. I got the job. On the second day this company was formed, I had the job working for the CEO of their company, and I stayed with him for 18 years. He went to Warner Brothers, and I followed him to Warner Brothers. He was president of Warner Brothers, and I stayed for him for 18 years, and my life, my whole financial life was put together. I mean, it was like everything changed as soon as I started the writing and said, okay, I'm going to do this, but then I have to put the rest of my life together to go along with this.
Interesting. So the writing wasn't specifically what changed, like your financial outlook didn't change because you were selling the writing, but doing the writing cleared you and opened you up to all these other possibilities.
Exactly. The message that I was hearing in the writing, you know, about taking responsibility for your life and not blaming other people for where you are. Blaming is so debilitating, because not only that it keeps your mind filled with negative thoughts, but it attracts blamers back to you. And then you're not only do you have your own blame, but other people blaming everything on you or blaming everybody else in their life. And that's the kind of people that were in my life. And as soon as I turned around and started taking responsibility, then I was attracting more positive energy to myself, and also putting my own life together. So it was a big difference. The contrast in my life has been very vivid for me.
So when we talk about blame, I believe chapter one, reform, was kind of about blame.
It is about Bartholomew blaming everyone else for his problems and realizing that he had to take responsibility, and that when he wanted reform, he was always wanting other people to reform around him instead of realizing that he had to do the reforming within himself first.
And then, like you said, that you attract other blamers when you start blaming. So then you're blaming everyone around you, and then those people are blaming you and everyone around them.
Exactly. Yes. It's a self-perpetuating thing. It's like whatever attention you give to the energy you are, it expands. So if you give a lot of negative energy to your thoughts, then negativity is going to expand all around you. It's like the atoms will expand in whatever direction you take them. Which is really a miraculous thought when you think of how powerful it makes you to create whatever you prefer. But first you have to take responsibility for being the person who is doing the creating.
But Betsy, when we talk about taking responsibility for our own life and our actions and all of that, I mean, that is sort of part, the words we use, I mean, that's part of the illusion, right? They're just words.
They're just words, yes. But you act out emotionally, that's reality. Whatever you act out emotionally is reality. So if you are acting, I mean, you know, I had this vivid lesson with my boss in California. He doesn't like any of the ideas. I mean, he doesn't attract it to any of the ideas that I write about. However, he lives a life of complete integrity. So it really doesn't matter what words he uses. He is living what I write about. So what difference does it make whether he believes what I write or he's interested in it? He's living it. And it was a great lesson for me to see that, too. I mean, it doesn't matter what you say. It is what you emotionally live that tells the tale, because that's what you attract back.
So
if you're a person who only speaks a lot of things and doesn't live it, all you attract back is a lot of people doing the same thing.
That's so true. Well, it's time for a break, so we'll be back again in just a moment. We are speaking with Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of the book Walking Through Illusion. You can find her online at BetsyThompson.com, or later on today you can find her link up on my website, SpiritualShow.com. I'm Marie Bernard. You're listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we'll be back again in a moment.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Right to Play is an international humanitarian organization using sport and play programs to encourage the healthy physical, social, and emotional development of the world's most disadvantaged children. RTP at UBC is run by a team of committed university students who advocate sport for development, and it is the first university chapter of its kind. We want you to get involved. Together, we can educate students about sport for development, help raise money, and teach children here in the Lower Mainland about the importance of sport and a healthy lifestyle. So check us out at www.interchange.ubc.ca/RTPUBC.
Hey, what's wrong?
I've been looking for a job since I came to Canada, and I haven't found anything.
Have you tried WorkLearn?
What's WorkLearn?
Part-time jobs on campus for international undergraduate students just like us help me find a great job that's actually related to my studies.
Wow, I'll have to check that out.
You should. It's good pay, good experience, and good for your career. Just look for WorkLearn postings at www.careersonline.ubc.ca. You can even ask your profs and campus staff if they can create a job for you.
To participate in WorkLearn, you must be an international student seeking an undergraduate degree in a participating faculty and registered full-time, with a study permit valid for at least 6 months. For more information, visit www.careers.ubc.ca.
Aha, I love that music. Okay, so this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today's show is sponsored by Deepak Chopra. He's going to be at the QE Theater. That's the Queen Elizabeth Theater on June 4th. You can find tickets at Ticketmaster, and he'll probably be wearing his sparkly glasses. If you see his videos on the internet, you can see that he's got these wicked sweet glasses with rhinestones all over them. They're so bling. And I know it's not really relevant, but I just have to comment on his awesome glasses because they're really cool. And so, yeah, check him out at the Queen Elizabeth Theater on June 4th. Our guest today is Betsy Otter Thompson, and we are talking about her book, Walking Through Illusion. Coming up in a few minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive, so stick around for that. He's playing awesome ska music to start your weekend off wickedly sweet, so keep listening for Scotty's Scenic Drive. Hi, Betsy. Welcome
Hi,
back to the show.
Hi.
So we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to talk more about, we were talking about blame and reform, but we just have about 5 minutes left, so I'm wondering, what would you like to spend this last 5 minutes on?
Well, perhaps the idea of action-reaction, because I believe that it's the force that runs the universe, and that the sooner we acknowledge that It does, and it runs our lives. The sooner we can give out the emotional action to make our lives the way we want it. So, you know, for instance, if someone is, if we're blaming someone for something in our lives, then we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we want from this person that we're not getting? And when you identify what it is, so for instance, it's, well, I want this person to give me, to be more respectful, then that's the clue you need, that's what you need to give to get. So you have to be more respectful to attract people who are more respectful for you. That's the way I think the whole universe is in a state of balance with the planets around the Earth. It's all keeping perfect balance all the time, which means, and I think that means that everything that is within this universe is also in perfect balance. And that perfect balance means that whoever you are emotionally putting out into this universe, you are attracting back to you. And this is such a powerful idea because it puts you in the position of knowing you are the one who can change things. And so that's the message I want to get out to your listeners, that they're in charge of the way their life is and emotional. They can't always control what happens in the picture or the illusion, but they can certainly control how they deal with it and how they feel about it. And if they see how they have grown from living it, then they're automatically into the positive energy again. It's always about seeing what you've learned from what you have lived, so you are, and how you have benefited from the setbacks, so that you can regain that positive energy that you want to attract back to yourself.
So would that, going back to referring to your book, would that be Chapter 9, Fairness?
It could be. The whole book is basically sort of about that, and each chapter sort of has a focus around that, but yes, I mean, fairness is the idea that you get exactly what you deserve emotionally, because you deserve exactly, you know, you deserve what you think other people deserve. If you think other people deserve to be disrespected, then how can you expect to be respected? If you think other people deserve to be patronized, then how can you be surprised when it comes back to you? Plus, I think you have an energy field around you of whatever it is you're giving out, and so whatever it is you're giving out is welcome into your aura. I had a person in my life who was very patronizing to me, and it wasn't until I figured out that I had, and when this talent first emerged, I sort of felt like I had the answer for everybody, and I was probably patronizing in the beginning, you know, acting like, what's the matter with you that you don't get it? And so then when somebody was that way with me, it hurt me. But that was the clue to realize that it was only coming back to hurt me because I had put it out. As soon as I changed the way I behaved towards other people, that person continued to be patronizing, but it didn't affect me anymore.
Interesting. So even though they're still acting in that same way, when you were more aware of what you were doing and you weren't living that way, it wasn't harmful to you anymore.
Exactly. It just like passed right over me. I would say, oh, there they go again. There that person goes again doing that behavior. But it didn't impact me the way it had before. Because I believe we have this aura around us that is protective in a way, and it only lets in what goes out. So this is like an emotional aura. I mean, I know people say, cause there are people who can see this aura, and sometimes I do see it, but I don't study it like a lot of people do, but I know it's there.
Wonderful. Well, it's time to wrap up the show already. So, Betsy Otter Thompson, I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
And I want to thank you. I love that my energy attracted yours. What a great idea that is.
Yay.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. So that was Betsy Otter Thompson. She is the author of Walking Through Illusion, and her website is BetsyThompson.com. You can find her there. So again, Deepak Chopra was the sponsor of today's show. He's coming June 4th, and I will be back next week with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. And to close the show, I'm going to play a song by the lovely Deanna Knight, and this is from her Shadow of a Star CD, and it is called My Love Inside. That's the name of the song, My Love Inside by Deanna Knight. Up next is Scotty's Scenic Drive. I hope you have a wonderful, lovely weekend, and remember to take care of yourself, be good to yourself, and be good to the people around you. And yesterday was Earth Day. If we can continue on all of those Earth Day type things that we were doing on throughout the weekend, and maybe make Earth Day every day. I'm sure that if you're listening to this show, you're probably already very conscious about what you're doing with the planet and recycling and all of that. So one of the things that I was trying to do yesterday for Earth Day was, you know, because I already recycle and I'm already aware of those things, is to just take the time to send my love to the planet, because the planet Earth, gives us so much abundance. And really, if we don't treat her with love and respect, then we won't be, I mean, that's what we get back, right? Is we treat the planet badly, and then we get earthquakes and volcanoes and all of that. So this weekend, while you're meditating or whatever, if you could just send some love to planet Earth, I'm sure that she would really appreciate that. So have a wonderful weekend. This is Deanna Knight, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Why should I darken my eyes? From who I am, I can't hide. Open my heart and I tell you twice. I found my love inside. I found my love inside. As the seeds are
connect.